ABC presents Guilty Party. A problem in crime detection in which you are invited to match your wits with a panel of experts. John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian. You'll hear a crime play called Left Hand Threat. Various clues are given in the play, enabling the panel to decide on a line of investigation and cross-examine the suspects, who give unscripted answers to their questions. From this cross-examination, the panel hopes to find the guilty party. But first, let's hear from Joe McCready, private investigator.
Pauline Tranter was small and dark and very attractive. She was also indiscreet. And because she was indiscreet, she was being blackmailed. She was married to a wealthy husband, many years older than herself, and they employed a young, good-looking chauffeur named James Moult. Books, plays, and films have been written around this theme ever since the motor car was invented. But blackmail is a nasty crime. And in spite of Mrs. Tranter's objections, I called in the police.
But, Mr. McCready, the reason I came to you was to avoid police publicity.
Inspector Galloway won't cause you any unwanted publicity, Mrs. Tranter. I promise you that.
Now, you say this letter is the first you've received. In other words, he or she has only just started the blackmail racket.
That's right. I found it in my handbag.
Have you discussed it with anyone, apart from us?
No. And no one knows I've come to see you.
The letter says, I know all about your affair with James Moult. Unless you want your husband to know, take £100 in used £1 notes and put them on the seat of your car. Park your car at 7 o'clock tonight in the car park of the Regal Cinema and go inside the cinema, leaving the car unlocked. Don't try anything or else. Highly melodramatic.
What shall I do? I've got the £100 here with me. I had to pawn a diamond brooch to get it.
How long has this affair between you and Moult been going on?
Not long. About a month. Oh, I've been a fool, but James and I just couldn't help ourselves.
You haven't told James about this?
No, because I had a dreadful thought that maybe...
Maybe it was James who was doing the blackmailing?
Yes. You see, it's got to be somebody in the house. Either James or Alice the maid. It can't be anyone else. No one else had the chance to get in my handbag yesterday. What shall I do? If Ben, my husband, finds out, he'll kill me.
This letter's been written by a right-handed person using his left hand. It'd be impossible to get any help from the handwriting. Too distorted.
Now, look, Mrs. Tranter. The thing for you to do tonight is to act precisely as you've been told in this letter. Except that en route to the Regal Cinema, you'll pick up two passengers. Joe McCready here and me. Have a rug on the back seat. And when you go into the cinema, we'll wait for the blackmailer. All right, Joe?
Sure. Your husband won't be wanting the car, will he?
No, he's got his own car. I'll make some excuse and slip out at about 6:45.
And so far as your husband's concerned, I'd be inclined to tell him the truth anyway.
Oh, no. No, I couldn't. He'd be violent.
Did he give you the diamond brooch you pawned?
Yes.
Must be very fond of you.
Oh, that means nothing. He's given me about £5,000 worth of jewelry, but only for business reasons. He does a lot of cash trade. And if he makes a lot of money, instead of putting it into the bank, he buys diamond jewelry and gives it to me. That way the income tax people know nothing about it. But if he goes bust, why, the jewelry's in my name and nobody can touch it.
You sound rather bitter about it. Don't you love your husband?
No. I love James, the chauffeur.
Well, then does it matter about your husband knowing of this affair?
Oh, yes, he mustn't. He'd kill me. And besides, James and I would be thrown out. No money, nothing. I couldn't marry James. I mean, I've been used to luxury.
I see. Come on, Joe. Let's arrange where we meet before I begin to lose interest in the case.
Everything went according to plan. To begin with, anyway. At 6:45, Mrs. Tranter picked us up and drove to the Regal Cinema car park. We were huddled in the back of the car underneath a rug when she parked the car and prepared to go into the cinema.
How long shall I stay in the cinema?
Go right inside and then leave immediately by the emergency exit on the far side of the cinema. And don't show yourself until you hear three toots on the horn.
The money's on the passenger seat.
Righto.
Off you go, then.
But women like her make you think twice about getting married, Joe. Two-timing slut.
I don't know. Maybe it's her husband's fault.
You give any pretty face the benefit of the doubt.
I know what it's like trying to resist temptation. Very difficult.
But you're not married?
No, but the girl was.
The witching hour of 7 o'clock. Whoever it is won't waste much time when she gets inside the cinema.
Somebody coming towards the car. A man by the sound of the footsteps.
What's going on? What's this? My golly, there's two of you. I'll kill a pair of you. What is this? Let me go before I murder you. Help!
Right, calm down, please. Relax. We've got you tight. Now, just sit on the front seat. That's it. Press the horn, Joe.
You've gone stark raving, mad. Who are you? What is this? A stick-up? Because you picked the wrong man, I tell you. Just what are you doing in my wife's car?
Ah, so you're a Mr. Tanter, then?
I am that. Now, the law on you and two jiffies.
Let me introduce myself. Detective Inspector Galloway, Scotland Yard, Joe McCready, private investigator.
Now, I know you've gone mad.
Just what are you doing here, anyway?
I'm looking for my wife and her lover.
A lover?
Yes, that's what this note says. Here, read it.
Hello. Same distorted handwriting. If you go to your wife's car in the car park of the Regal Cinema at 7 p.m. tonight, you'll find her there with her lover. And it's signed, a well-wisher.
So when she made a flimsy excuse to go out tonight, I suspected that maybe there was something in this. Ah, Pauline, you are. Is one of these men your lover or what? What have you been up to?
Oh, Lord, it's Ben. It's my husband. So it's you that's blackmailing me.
Blackmailing you? Me? What for? You've gone mad as well? Yeah, read this note and start talking. Fast.
When did you get this note?
This afternoon. I opened the drawer of my desk at home, and there it was. I don't know how long it had been there.
Someone must have known. I came to see you this morning, Mr. McCready, but Ben, you never said anything to me about this.
No. I thought to myself, there's no smoke without fire. So I decided to come and have a look at what was going on. Perhaps somebody would be good enough to explain.
It occurs to me that someone may have wanted to get you both out of the house at the same time.
Just what I was thinking. Got anything of value back at the house?
My jewels. You don't think anybody...
Oh, sense, Pauline. They're in your safe, surely.
Oh, yes.
And you're the only one who knows the combination. Much of you still remember it.
I've got a way of remembering
it. Well, then nobody else could get at it, could they? Nobody at all. Impossible.
Let's go home and make sure, shall we? The impossible often happens.
And Galloway was right. The impossible had happened. When they got back to the Tranters' home, two people were anxiously waiting on the steps. Alice, the maid, and James Moult, the chauffeur.
Yeah, what's all this? What's going on? Alice, James, what's to do then?
Mr. Tranter, you've been robbed. All your jewels have been took from the safe.
What?
Oh, no. Oh, no. James, how could you?
Me? I had nothing to do with it, ma'am.
Really, Mrs. Tranter? I'm sorry. It's the shock. You two were here alone. Stupid of me. I'm sorry, James.
I should think so, too, ma'am. Really?
Well, come on, Inspector. Let's see what the damage is. The safe's in our bedroom on the first floor. Look here. Safe open. Empty. Everything gone. Somebody will suffer for this. Thousands of pounds worth of jewels. Pauline, are you sure you locked it?
Yes.
When?
This morning, before I went out.
Just what jewelry is missing?
Why, the lot. One diamond bracelet, one pearl necklace, one ruby and emerald bracelet, one pair of diamond earrings, all gone.
You seem to know your wife's jewelry pretty well.
Oh, I should do. I bought it. And I know the value of each piece.
And you're sure that's all that's missing?
Yes.
Is it insured?
Well, of course, but that's not the point. Who's taken it? Well, where is it? Pauline, what's this about a lover? What made you accuse James? What's going on?
All in good time, Mr. Tranter. Let's ask a few questions below stairs, shall we? I'd like to talk to James.
Yeah. Just a minute. James Moult. Pauline, when you upset your bag yesterday morning and I helped you pick up the odds and ends, there was a railway ticket. First class return from Birmingham, dated the 20th. Now, you told me you went to see a girlfriend in Oxford that day. And the 20th was the day I sent James Moult to Birmingham with the car for some repairs to be done at the works.
Oh, leave me alone. Don't start on me. Find the jewels. Where have they gone? Only I knew the combination.
Unless you told it to somebody. James Moult, for example.
All right, all right. We can sort that out later. Let's talk to James, shall we? Oh, Mr. Tranter, you've had no occasion to go to the safe at all?
Oh, not I. It's my wife's safe and her jewelry, all in her name. I didn't even know the combination.
When did you last see it open?
Oh, I don't know. A week ago tonight. Yeah, we went to a dance. Yes, that's right. But to get back to James Moult, Pauline, I've a right to know.
I could see his point of view. But there were things we wanted to know about James Moult, too. He was a good-looking young chap of about 28. Curly hair, blue eyes, and a fresh complexion. Slightly marred at the moment by streaks of coal dust.
Not in the all of a heap, that. All of a heap, what? The way Pauline, Mrs. Tranter said my name when she knew the jewels was gone.
We know you were having an affair with her. Did you meet her in Birmingham on the 20th?
Yes. Her idea, not mine. Very difficult position for me, you know. After all, she was madam, wasn't she? What could I do?
You mean You only played up to her because she wanted you to?
This is a good job. I didn't want to lose it.
So you weren't really in love with Mrs. Tranter?
Not really. Mind you, she was all right.
What time did Mr. Tranter leave the house tonight?
Oh, he drove off early, about 6:15.
And Mrs. Tranter?
Oh, supposed to be about 6:45 or 22.
What have you been doing from then onwards?
You should be able to tell that from the look of me. Down in the boiler house, fixing the central heating and stoking up. Till about 7:00, when Alice, that's the maid, came rushing down to tell me we'd been robbed.
Do you know the combination of Mrs. Tranter's safe?
No, but she keeps it in her handbag, I think. She's always forgetting what it is. No memory, you know.
Is it always the same?
No. She keeps changing it, so his old man Tranter won't be able to get at the jewels. He's given them to her, but only for appearances. He regards them as his own security.
How do you know this? She tell you?
Of course.
Tell me, did she ever suggest that the pair of you could run away together if you had the jewels as a nest egg?
She mentioned it once, joking-like. I don't want her that bad, though. Too old for me, anyway.
You might find somebody younger, of course, if you'd got yourself £5,000. All to yourself.
I'm dead straight. Always have been. Check, if you like.
We will. Don't worry. And now, I'll have a word with Alice, the maid.
Alice Jones, the maid, was pretty and plump and cuddlesome. She looked as though one day she'd run to fat. Well, if anyone laid a finger on her any day, she'd run to Mother.
Alice, when did you last see the safe open?
This morning, sir. I was in the bedroom when Madam opened it and took out her diamond brooch.
Did you see her lock it and reset the combination?
Yes, but I didn't take much notice.
You didn't see whether she had a note in her hand or anything with combination numbers written down?
No. At least, as she put the brooch into her handbag, she took something else from it and looked at it before setting the combination.
Couldn't you see what it was?
No, whatever it was very small.
Very observant of you to notice so much.
Madam was always so forgetful that she liked me to remind her about closing the safe properly.
If you watched and listened carefully enough, you might in time be able to figure out what the combination was.
How? But in any case, why? They weren't my jewels.
After the house was empty tonight, empty, that is, except for you and James the chauffeur, what were you doing?
In the kitchen, preparing late supper. Then just after 7, when everything was ready in the kitchen, I popped upstairs to lay the bed properly. Put out their night clothes and that. And then I saw the safe open.
Then what?
I rushed downstairs to tell James. He was still in the boiler cellar.
You didn't phone the police?
Mr. Tranter had told me he wouldn't be out very long. I thought it best to wait for him.
While you were in the kitchen, could anyone have entered the house without you knowing?
Oh, yes. Easy through the front door if they'd got a key. Not through the back door, though.
Do you like James Moult? You fond of him?
If he'd mind his ways and stop making up to married women, maybe I might take an interest. Not that I blame them altogether. After all, if somebody throws herself at you, well, I mean...
Thank you, Alice. Now, Joe, one final question for Mrs. Tranter, and we're through.
Yes, Inspector. Did you want me again?
Just wanted to ask you, Mrs. Tranter. One hears that you're rather vague and careless about trifles.
I am, I'm afraid. I forget things.
But surely it was more than ordinary carelessness that made you keep in your handbag a return railway ticket from Birmingham in the circumstances.
Yes. Yes, it was. Only, you see, I used the numbers of the ticket for the safe combination.
But you could have written them down on paper.
Ben always told me that was dangerous. A used bus ticket or a theatre ticket would be less obvious, he said. He was always worried for fear the servants might find out the combination. Because I was always leaving my handbag about. I'm afraid you're right. I am just plain careless.
Thanks, Mrs. Tranter. That'll be all. Well, Joe? Satisfied?
Well, listeners and members of the panel, can you name the guilty party? Here again is scriptwriter Edward J. Mason to introduce the suspects for cross-examination.
And the four suspects are, of course, Ben Tranter, the deceived greengrocer, Pauline Tranter, the faithless wife, Alice Jones, the Puritan maid, and James Moult, the Casanova in chauffeur's uniform. And I now hand them over, with some relief, I may say, not liking them very much, to John Arlott, for him to decide, with his panel, who is the guilty party.
Thank you. Well, I wonder if, then, first of all, we might speak to Ben Tranter.
Does your wife often go to the cinema alone?
Occasionally.
What excuse did she make for going out this evening? This lame excuse, you said.
Well, she didn't say she was going to the cinema tonight.
No, but really, what did she say?
Well, she said she wanted to see a sick friend, that was all. And I said, all right, well, no harm in that.
This when did she say that?
At tea time.
This friend in Oxford was sick, I suppose, the one that she went to see when she didn't go to see her.
Yes.
Yeah. Do you always make a note of the date and destination of a rail ticket when you see it fall out of a handbag?
Very seldom.
Why did you on this occasion?
Because this is the first ticket that I've ever seen fall out of a handbag.
Tell me, are you left-handed?
No.
Do you know anybody who is left-handed?
Not to my knowledge, no.
Your wife isn't left-handed?
No, certainly not.
When did you last see your wife's handbag?
A wife's handbag? Well, I can't tell you that. It's all over the place any time.
And you said the last time you saw the safe was open was the time you went to the dance a week before, right?
That's right, yeah.
Why did you ask her if she'd be sure she'd closed it that morning? How did you know she'd had it open?
I don't follow you. What? Repeat that question.
You said to her, are you sure you closed it this morning when you found the jewels were missing?
Oh, well, naturally. It's the first question you'd ask. Did you lock the safe?
How do you know she... You said this morning. How do you know she'd had it open that morning?
Well, I didn't know she'd had it open.
Can your wife change the combination on this safe?
Yes, she can.
You know what it is?
No, I haven't the faintest idea, and I don't want to know.
That's all right, then. Now, perhaps we might speak to Alice Jones. Now, Alice.
Yes,
what time do you think it was on this particular evening when Mr. Tranter went out?
6:15, I think.
And madam?
Oh, that'd be a little later, about 6:45, I'd say.
I see. And were you in madam's bedroom at any time then between Mr. Tranter going out and Mrs. Tranter going out?
No, sir. I went there just after 7, and that's when I discovered the safe was open.
You'd not been there between Mr. Tranter leaving and you finding the safe open?
Oh, no. I was busy with the shepherd's pie.
That's when you went up to turn down the bed and found the safe open.
That's right, sir. Mm.
I see. You said that you saw your madam take the brooch out of the safe.
In the morning, that's right.
Now, when she'd taken out of the safe, what did she do with it? Did she pin it on her coat?
She put it in her handbag.
She put it in her handbag?
Yes, sir.
And what did you think about that? What was she putting in her handbag for, did you think?
I don't know. I didn't think.
A lady takes a brooch out, she usually puts it on, doesn't she?
Not when she's wearing her negligee, sir.
Oh, she took it out before she was dressed.
Yes, sir.
And put it in her handbag.
That's right, sir.
Did you think she's going to take it out with her for any purpose? Did you have any idea like that?
Well, I thought she might be going to wear it.
Did she tell you she was going to pull it?
No.
Are you confident of the ladies? Does she...
Oh, she's very nice.
Does she tell you a little bits and pieces or not?
No, she let me try a mink stole on once.
Does Mr. Tranter sleep in the same bedroom as his wife?
Yes, he does.
Are you left-handed?
No.
You're not?
No, why did you ask?
Are any of the household left-handed?
No, I don't think so. No.
All right, that'll do for the moment, Alice. Now let's talk to James Moult, if we may. How long, Mr. Moult, did it take you to get the coal dust on your hands and face this evening?
Well, it's hard to say. I went down there about 6:45 time, and I was down there till about 7 o'clock when Alice come down and flying down the stairs. I thought she broke her neck.
Who told you to go there, Liz?
Well, Mr. Tranter.
What time did he
It was the usual thing. He said, you know, watch the boilers, because they're getting a bit low, you know. We've got thermostats always. Very modern house, you know.
Were you down there when madam went out?
No, I wasn't, actually.
You knew she kept the combination in her handbag, or something in her handbag?
Yeah.
You knew she changed it?
Oh, yes, that...
Prevent Mr. T from knowing what it was?
Well, she could never remember it 2 days together, you know.
But so what method did she use of remembering it?
I don't know. I told her to write it down on something.
But you knew she had a memorandum of it in her handbag.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I mean, I've been in her handbag before.
Well, you haven't been in her handbag before? Before when?
Well, before any time. I mean, I was always in and out for bags and things.
Oh, you were?
Yeah.
You used to go to her handbag.
Well, she didn't mind, you know.
Didn't she?
No. She used to say, get us a fag out, you know. I used to get it for her. Light it for her. It was rather nice.
Do you think Mr. Trent had tumbled your little affair with his wife?
Well, I hadn't really noticed.
That'll do for the moment, James. Now I think we'd better speak to Mrs. Tranter, if she'll come up.
Did you know that your husband was suspicious of you?
No, I didn't, no.
Not for sure?
I'm not for sure, but I must admit that when James is about, I have eyes for no one else, so, and I'm rather careless, my personal belongings, so it's quite...
Precisely, but you're not answering the question.
I'm so sorry.
Did you think that your husband was suspicious?
I have no proof that he was suspicious.
Did you think so?
Well, I had a sort of an uneasy feeling, but I couldn't prove that. I did think so,
yes.
But I wasn't absolutely sure.
What sort of notepaper was your note on?
Oh, it was quite an ordinary piece of notepaper.
Ever seen it about the house, too?
No, never, never, no.
Was it written in pencil or what?
No, it was written in ink.
It was written in ink?
Yes.
What made you so stupid as to carry that return half of a Birmingham ticket in your handbag?
I'm afraid I just am stupid about things like that. I haven't got a mind for details. I'm a perfect scatterbrain.
But you were going to use it as a mnemonic for the safe combination, weren't you?
Yes, I was, yes.
Do you leave your handbag about in the house?
I leave everything about in the house.
Could your husband ever look at it when he wants to?
Well, I suppose he could, yes, but I don't think a gentleman would look at a lady's handbag.
But you don't think your husband's a gentleman, do you?
Well, not really. Sometimes his temper gets the better of me. In fact, on occasions, he's been known to hit me.
Now, Mrs. Tranter, are you satisfied that you did, in fact, as Alice Jones says, lock the safe immediately after you took the diamond brooch out?
Yes, I'm absolutely satisfied. Alice is completely trustworthy.
But do you remember
shutting
it?
Yes, I remember shutting it.
And locking it?
And locking it, and Alice checked it.
Did you open it again after that and before the time you found it rifled and empty?
No, I did not.
You're certain?
I'm quite certain of that.
Well, now, I've got a signal from the producer that that's the end of our examination of the witnesses. So let's hand them back to you, Ted Mason.
Thank you very much, John Arlott. And while you go away with your panel and try to elucidate this mystery, I'll run over the list of suspects just once more for the benefit of people listening at home. We have Ben Tranter, the deceived husband, of course. He had perhaps opportunity. The motive is rather obscure. Pauline Tranter might have wanted the jewels and might have planted the whole thing. She had the opportunity to do it too. Alice Jones and James Moult, both of them had opportunity because they had front door keys and they could easily have planned this little stratagem to get hold of the jewels while the two people were out of the way, the husband and wife, that is. Their motive could only have been personal gain. So there they are, the four of them, not very pleasant people. All of them have ample opportunity and diverse motives. Which do you think at home was the guilty party? And, John Arlott, which do you and your panel think was the guilty party?
We only collected one clue, Ted, and we based the whole thing on that. When Ben Tranter was asked how much was missing, he said, the lot. And he quoted a diamond bracelet, pearl necklace, a ruby and emerald bracelet, was it, and a pair of diamond earrings.
That's right. Those are the exact words that he used.
Well, now, why on earth did he quote the diamond brooch? Because he didn't know. The last time he says he had seen the safe open was a week earlier when his wife went to the dance. But he could only have known that that was the lot if he had seen the contents of the safe after she locked it that morning, having taken out the diamond brooch. So that's his error. So, as nearly as we can piece it together, motive and method, Moult was right. Tranter had suspected that Moult and his wife were lovers a fortnight before. And when the handbag fell off the table, the ticket did two things. It told him about the Birmingham trip on the 20th, and it clicked in his mind that this probably was still there as her mnemonic for the combination. So, on the crucial day, he writes her the letter in the distorted left-handed handwriting and pushes it into her handbag, which is always left around. He then writes himself the note, which will give him an alibi when he goes to the car at a time that he reckons everyone will think the safe is being rifled, knowing that it's Alice's time to be preparing the supper. And he's tied Moult to the house by sending him down to the central heating. What he actually does at 6:15 is go out of the house, drive only a little way away, wait, see his wife come out, nip back in, use the front door key, upstairs. Now, he's using now what he's got written down, which is the number off the train ticket that he found in her handbag when he went to plant the note. Once again, he made a note of it then. He opens the safe, takes the jewellery, doesn't lock it up, but bolts outside into his car and as fast as he can down to the car park for an alibi with the note to show why he was there. And if she is in the cinema, he's got the jewels and £100. If she's got no policeman watching, if she hasn't told anybody, he's got £100. If she has got a policeman watching, he's got the jewellery and the insurance money. And she hasn't got the jewellery, which might subsidise her to run away from him. Will that do?
Well, it's a first-class piece of deduction because you've covered every single point on this occasion, so you really do have a 100% win. And, of course, Ben Tranter not only has, as you've seen, insurance money, but also he's given his wife the fright of her life and presumably will have tied her to him with mercenary bonds stronger than ever.
Left-hand threat was another in the BBC series Guilty Party. The experts were John Arlott, F.R. Buckley, and Robert Fabian, introduced by Edward J. Mason, who also wrote the play. Production by Tony Schreiber.